And we're rolling. Hope you all have had a gem of a day, and welcome to a brand new episode of Pitching to Contact, the first under the Evolution Metrics brand. I have your extremely caffeinated co-host, Rich Burfer, and I'm joined, as always, by my better half, Pete Horner. How's it going, my dude?
Dude, I am just splendid. I'm so excited about this name brand change. I'm excited about the guests we have today, and just overall just rejuvenated about life. How about yourself, Rich? How you doing?
Dude, I've been busy, man. Just recorded another episode of another podcast. Just had an argument with my mom, so my vocal cords are kind of giving out. But I'm just going to try to empty the clip for the rest of the evening right now, man. But anyways, Pete, we have Peyton Trawick back on this pod. Guest of the show, a good friend of ours. Peyton, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, guys. How are you?
I'm doing great. Just like really, really tired. And that's when the rock stars and the caffeine starts to kick in.
Oh yeah, I know that feeling.
Dude, it's college life, man. Like grad school is literally killing me right now. But anyways, very special guest on today. Let's bring on, he's a first round draft pick and projected to go in the first round in the 2019 MLB draft. Carter Stewart, how's it going, dude?
It's going really well. How are you guys?
Dude, we're doing awesome. How's college going up there? East Florida. Let's see here. You're at East Florida, and this game a couple of days ago. How was that?
It was good. I mean, everything's going well so far. I'm excited with my new team. I mean, I'm happy right now. I'm ready to play some baseball.
Yeah. How was your first game? How was the debut?
Pretty good. We ended up losing the game, which sucks. And I mean, which I wasn't happy with, but so far, I mean, I was happy with my debut. The first inning was a little shaky considering, just kind of nerves, I guess you could say. I don't really know like what I would say it was, but I was happy with it. I got kind of settled in, got my first college innings out of the way, good with that. Nice. And, I mean, the season so far is also going really well, which I'm happy with. We've lost a few games, but I feel like we're going to get right back on track.
That's awesome, man. And, like, just being your first game, like, any jitters before the game, like, any nerves? Like, how does it feel just going into your first college game?
I was a little nervous. It was my first start in five and a half months. So, I mean, it was exciting in both senses, just being my first start and my first college start.
Carter, what do you think the difference was whenever you arrived on campus? Because I know that going into it, making that jump from, you know, high school to college, you know, did you have to change your mindset in and kind of how you approach a game, or did you just try to keep everything the same?
For the most part, I've been trying to keep it the same, but I mean, since I'm seeing college hitters, it's just that kind of step up for the most part. So I kind of right now, I mean, at least I might later down the line, I might change it. But so far I've been kind of approaching batters a little bit differently than high school. I've been kind of trying to work the count differently and whatnot. So it's similar and different. I'm throwing a lot of pitches the same ways, but I'm throwing them in different times.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. You know, I was just kind of curious because I know that, you know, to an extent compared to what you're seeing, maybe, you know, not so much on the showcase circuit, but just in high school, you know, the talent's a little bit of a jump and you're seeing it like on a more consistent basis. You know, obviously the showcase circuit is full with a lot of talent. So, but I was just kind of curious, you know, how you were, you know, kind of, you know, I'm not going to say what you were expecting, but what your mindset was going into it more than anything.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's similar and different. I mean, I can point out things I'd say like before the game and during the game that I would say are different and similar. Like before the game, I'm taking a little more time to get ready. Like I'm taking 45 minutes to an hour compared to in high school, I would take about 25 to 30 minutes. And during the game, so far, I feel like I'm facing 9 really good hitters compared to in high school. Usually there's 5 to 6.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's actually a perfect transition a little bit. In general, Carter, one thing I was actually really curious about, especially from your standards of being a obviously high first-round draft pick, to me I've noticed, especially with professional-level baseball players and in my experience working with college players so far, that there's definitely like a different mindset when it comes to professional players versus college players. I just wanted to like kind of pick your mind a little bit and just like have you kind of talk a little bit about your mindset, like on a daily basis and what you try to accomplish every single day, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, what specifically? It's, I mean, there's so many different aspects of the day that there's what specifically do you want to know?
All right. So like, for example, like how do you conquer a practice? Like what are you trying to do every single day?
Every single day. I mean, I guess I can sound generic and saying every day I'm trying to get better, but every day I want to go out there with the same mindset as I'm going to get my work in. I'm going to get my throwing. I mean, not every day. There's some days I'm going to need to take off and whatnot from throwing or kind of rest a little bit. But every day I want to at least get my throwing in or get PFPs in or get my running in. So, or get workouts in. I mean, that's every day. That's an everyday thing. There's at least one of those things going on. So when I go out to the field, I mean, I get ready. I normally want to get there about an hour before practice. So if we have 3:30 practice, I'm getting there at 2:30. Get my bands done, get all my kind of early work done. Sometimes take ground balls before. I mean, sometimes you just want to go out there and hang out with some of your friends and get to know them more and some go throw the football or just, you know, kind of be around your teammates, which I feel like is a really good thing that you can do to get kind of have a stronger bond with your teammates. Mm-hmm. And then just go out to the practice, work with them, get all your work that you need to get done. And I mean, after practice, if you have workouts, I'll go get my workout in, and if not, then just go home and eat a good meal.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, man. So let's just kind of rewind a little bit before we talk about college and the pro game. So one thing I really liked about you, because Peyton and I, we are two really, really big prospect buffs. So we'd watch a ton of video going in before every single draft. And one thing I really, really liked about you, and this might be weird, it's that you played a lot of golf and growing up. In my mind, it's really weird. Like, I look at the weirdest things when I look at prospects. But the thing with me,
I don't blame you.
Dude, there we go. But the thing with me and golf is you have to have a really strong lower half to be a good golfer. And just watching you pitch, it seems like you really understand how to use your lower half. So just, can you just talk to me a little bit about how golf helped you become the pitcher you are? Like, and just why did you pick baseball instead of golf?
Okay. I like this. I love this question. When people ask me about golf, I sit up in my seat and I get really excited. So golf, I completely agree with you. Golf is such a lower half based sport and people don't realize that. The first time I have a lot of friends who don't really golf and I've taken them out and they've been like, wow, this is something you don't expect it. So yes, I feel like golf and baseball are similar in that sense that you have to have a very strong lower half to be good. I mean, you can, not necessarily good, but to be able to throw hard or hit the ball a long ways. And I think that's really kind of an important thing, reason why I played golf, is because I wanted to kind of translate the two, because I work out my legs for not just this one specific reason. It kind of goes between them. And I mean, sorry, what was the second half of the question? I got lost in the first half.
Honestly, why did you choose baseball instead of golf? That was because from my research, I just know you were pretty good at golf.
And so, I mean, this isn't to brag. I was like a scratch golfer to a plus one handicap, which means I was a right around even par. Uh-huh. So the main reason I chose baseball was because I believed that I was better at it. I kind of had a similar, like an almost on par love with the games. With both of them, I feel like I really, really enjoyed to a good extent. Like, I mean, I will go out and play 7 days a week, or I'll go out and play baseball 7 days a week. Like, they go hand in hand. So I think I chose the right sport because I can play golf as a pitcher. I guess the main reason is I felt like I was a better baseball player in that I could really play both sports if I stuck with baseball, and because I feel like I would get the most opportunity with baseball as well.
Carter, what's the lowest you've ever shot in a round of golf?
65, I want to say. 64, I think 65.
How hard was the course?
My home course is either there's two sets of tees I play, which are like the very back and the one from that. It's either 6,600 or 7,200. So it's pretty, it's a good length.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. You know, and just kind of to touch back on the whole prospect buff thing that Richard was talking about, you know, going in the draft, I thought, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that there hadn't been a prep right-hander taking 1-1, I thought there could have been a case made for, you know, someone, you know, especially towards like April and May when you really start to pick up in production. There may have been a case made for you to go 1-1. And one thing that I thought was, you know, really crucial in making that decision was the feel for your changeup and how much it could develop over time. So what is one thing that you've really tried to work on with your changeup in order to develop it? Because, I mean, right now I'd say it's probably a 55 grade pitch. But it's all, and obviously it could take a way better turn and it could turn into a 60 or a 65. But I was just curious maybe what you're trying to do to develop that pitch now that you're at a college and not as much in a high school program anymore.
I'm really glad you mentioned that, because this kind of this off season, while I really had a lot of time to throw in and work on pitches, I really, really worked on my changeup hard, just getting to really throw the pitch, not try to not telegraph it at all, throw it is that 6 to 7 to 8 mile an hour difference. And so far, I mean, I've only thrown 4 innings in a game and I've thrown about 10, 12 innings in interslide. But I've gotten some really, really good feedback, and I'm very, very confident in the pitch right now. Like, I want to throw it. I have full confidence to throw it every pitch, in my opinion. Like, it seems like in the first or second inning, I have a little bit of trouble with it, just because it takes a few pitches to get a feel for it. And it's easy to throw in the dirt because it's, I mean, just the difference in arm speed and whatnot. But I have really kind of just been throwing it from throwing it from 90 feet, 60 feet, throwing it on the mound. I mean, just kind of throwing the pitch over and over again, so I get a real feel for when I need to throw it and how I need to throw it. It's kind of been big for me, and I really feel like I've developed it a lot lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that once that changeup develops, I think I think the future is very, very bright for you. So I would definitely say keep that up. It was a pleasure getting to watch you play in the spring and kind of see the hype. And I think Richard and I kind of agree. You were probably our top prep guy, you know, in the draft last year. So it was really incredible to kind of see, you play and to have this opportunity to have you on the pod.
Yeah, Peyton, we're just tooting these kids' horn right now. It's funny because a couple of episodes ago, Pete and I were talking about the 2018 draft and how it was just so loaded with high school pitchers. And I'm like, yo, Pete, who's your favorite guy? Who was your favorite arm in that draft? And he's like, oh, I don't know. There was like a couple guys. And I'm like I said, mine was Carter Stewart. And he's like, yeah, but wasn't he like 92, 93? I'm like, dude, that guy touched like 97 before. And he's like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, let's go with that. But like, just jumping into just that whole pre-draft process, and I got to see you at the PGL American Classic, and I just kind of wanted to know what your mind state is like at showcases or just at games. Because when you come to a showcase, you pitch one inning, maybe there's just a pitch count, maybe you pitch two innings, but then during a season, you're not playing against the best players. Like, you go to like a PGL American showcase, you play against the best guys in the country. So I just kind of want to know what your mindset is like, and also like just what your pitch mix is like, because I'm guessing if you're just like pitching in a high school game and the opponents are not as good, you just kind of just maybe stick to just using your fastball a lot more, maybe using your curveball a lot more, just kind of shying away from your changeup. So I just kind of wanted to know how you attack hitters differently.
Okay. Between kind of a thing that I think of showcases compared to the actual season, is, look, showcases, they're fun, and I got lucky to be invited to what I do. But in the end, I think the best thing you can do at showcases is to just enjoy them. Because, look, if you're going to go out there and you're trying to prove everything you have in, what, one inning, two innings, two at-bats, I mean, it's almost impossible, in my opinion. So go out there and have fun with it. Throw your best pitch. Do your best you can. But and the best thing I experienced from those showcases was, I feel like I had a good showing at them, but I feel like I made a lot of friends in him, and that was kind of what I took out of him. And the I know it's a little bit off topic there, but the difference in mindset between going to those showcases and in high school or in a season is, look, during those showcases, have fun with it, do your best. And in the season, you're focusing pitch to pitch, at bat to at bat. It's just a more focused mindset when you go from when you're playing in the season to those showcases, as in you want to get everyone out, or you in the season, you want to focus pitch to pitch, at bat to at bat, compared to just the showcases, just show, have fun with the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. So let me actually throw this back at you, because you mentioned how you met a lot of great people at these showcases. Like I mentioned, 2018 high school draft pitching class was really good. Who do you think was the best high school arm in that draft? Just completely biased. Just unbiased.
Right-handed, left-handed, anybody?
Let's go. Like, who's your favorite lefty, favorite righty out of high school?
Okay, to be fair, I have to go with Matthew Liberatore, just because I played with him. Love the kid. He's such a great guy. And, I mean, he's such a good pitcher, in my opinion. He is the best pitcher that was in the draft, in my opinion. I'm not, like, I guess I'm a little biased, but I think he is absolutely a stud. Uh-huh. And right-hander,
it gets loaded.
Right-hander?
There.
It's got to be you. Got to be.
But here's the thing. It's
no, funny. I'm not. No, that's unfair. No, I don't think I was. I would have to go with either. I played with Mason, so I really enjoyed watching him pitch. He's a good pitcher.
That's actually interesting. Here's the thing. Like, going into the draft, like the few months before the draft, you always kind of like flip flop who you kind of like more. I remember, geez, a year ago, I was just on the Ethan Hankins hype train, just going like, this guy is going to be so good. He's the best righty in this high school.
He really was.
Dude, I was on it so hard.
Oh, he was.
Like, dude, my girlfriend could just message me and be like, hey, you're lying to yourself. I'm like, no, it's Ethan Hankins. And then like 2 months later, it's like Mason Denenberg has like this new slurvy pitch, and like it looks really, really filthy, and he throws like 97, and he's this great athlete. Maybe it's Mason Denenberg. But then like you start looking at a guy like Kumar Rocker pitch a little more, and you're like, geez, like that fastball and that slider could like really, really work out on the next level. So I just think like a lot of people might have taken this draft class for granted, but there is just a lot of high school talent on the pitching side. But
I'll agree with you. I want to go back to my favorite righty, just because I was the most impressed by single outing was Ethan Hankins, because he came out at East Coast Pro when I was only like 90-91, and he hit 99 in that event, and I was like terrified because it was ridiculous.
Carter, we have something in common. I love Ethan Hankins too.
But growing up in Toronto, and I used to play baseball a lot in high school, and the most I've ever seen was like 82, 85 miles per hour. What's it like facing 99? That must be terrifying. And the amount of like movement he gets on that fastball, like I'd literally cry and probably retire. Like I peaked in high school too. So like, oh man,
I just got to watch it from afar. I did face Mason Denenberg in high school though, and I almost took him deep. Almost.
Really?
Right at the
really? Front. Okay.
You know, it's funny he brings that up. So Carter actually hit, what was it, 7 home runs your senior year?
8.
Okay, so I had
my glory days of my hitting a senior year of high school.
Wait, so you
hit nukes.
So you hit nukes, and you have, like, the highest spin rate on curveballs. Wow. Meanwhile, I have, like, a 60-mile-per-hour fastball with sink.
I think the sink is gravity.
it might be gravity, but I mean, that's
great.
It gets really, really rough seeing me pitch. But like, let's jump into your curveball, because that's the thing that a lot of scouts and teams are really interested in. Like, how did that first just come about? Like this high spin rate, just how it just had such, it's literally a hammer. Like
okay, so I started throwing it when I was 6, 7, somewhere around there. I mean, it was 12 years ago, something like that. And, I mean, just development, really. I feel like a lot of times people don't really have that pitch when they're young. And I mean, I threw it like a good one when I was young too. I was known for my curveball around in like Little League when I was like 11 or 12 because it was that good. I actually, the first, when I first started throwing a curveball, I threw a two seam and a curveball the exact same way. Like there was the same grip and everything, except for the two seam. I just kind of like roll off my fingers while curveball. I got on top of it and threw it that spin. But when I was like, I want to say 13, 14, 15, some, like I think around 14, I changed my grip a little bit. I mean, it's almost the same as a two seam. My right finger is in the same spot. I just moved my left finger over, so it's just like gripping the right side of the seam. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I just throw it kind of as hard as I can. There isn't really, I can't specifically tell you how I do it. It's just the way it just works, which I mean, I wish someone would tell me how. I wish there was a statistic or a study that showed how it worked, but I mean, I guess secrets are best kept if they work.
Hey, Carter, you know, you bring up your curveball. I kind of want to bring up a question here that I had. So I remember reading a USA Today article about your curveball back, and I'm wanting to say it was June of last year. Can you kind of talk a little bit about, you know, the perspective you gained, you know, because it's kind of tied into the curveball article a little bit, of whenever you lost your brother Hyde a couple years ago and how that kind of tied in with your focus in baseball?
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. I don't wish that upon anybody, but having an experience like that in your life, you kind of, I guess this is, I'll relate it to something. It's anybody, a lot of people in their life have lost a pet or something like that. And whenever you lose a pet or whenever you lose someone you love or a pet you love or whatnot, there's two directions you can go. You can either just kind of go into your room and feel sorry for yourself, or you can go make something of it. And I feel like I kind of went down the right path after what happened with a lot of good people in my life, and they kind of led me to be kind of a better person. So I took that path, and I let all my sadness, depression, I never had depression or anything like that, but I'm saying I took all that energy and put it in the right place, which I put it in the baseball and golf. And I kind of feel like I focused a little more on baseball at that time. And I put all that energy into that. And a lot of people don't know is that, well, I mean, a lot of people say, hey, look, this kid was obviously naturally gifted and whatnot, which I feel to a certain extent is yes, but I put so much effort into that pitch, into my game, into my craft to make it where it is today.
Oh, wow. That's actually really awesome. Carter, not to jump back to golf real quick, but I'm kind of curious, what is the hardest golf course you've ever golfed on?
There's a course down in West Palm Beach. That's only hour and a half from here. It's called the PGA Die Course. That's number two. Number one, called Black Diamond Country Club, 3 hours from where I live. It's on a quarry, and it's an absolutely gorgeous course, but it is super hard. I mean, I played some great golf, and I shot like 78.
Ooh, boy. Wow. Richard, have you
heard? Yo, Pete, I go mini golfing, and I shoot like an 80.
I was about to say, Richard, do they even have golf courses up in Canada?
Not right now, dude. It's negative 30.
They have some beautiful golf courses in Canada.
Yeah. Oh, they do. I actually have one about like 20 minutes away from where I live. But like right now, it's negative 30 degrees Celsius. Like I'm worried about Kawhi Leonard leaving us because of the cold. So like, like everything's falling apart for me up here. But yeah, my mini golf game is strong, but like golf, not so much.
Carter, you bring up the fact about you know, how beautiful the golf courses are in Canada. Can I ask, what countries has baseball taken you to? Like, have you taken any, like, cool country trips to any different countries growing up, or has it been kind of limited in that aspect? Because I'm curious to kind of see what all you've seen growing up, given your talent.
I haven't left the country for baseball, but I have gone to San Diego, California, North Carolina. I've gone to a lot of really, really pretty states. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I only really played competitively, not like competitively, but I only really played to an extremely high level in baseball for 2 years, two years before the draft. So after sophomore season, so that'd be the summer before junior year to leading up to the draft was the real peak, or not peak, but that was really when I played at a high level in baseball. So that's kind of when I had all the experiences I did.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And so you mentioned San Diego. You got to pitch at Petco Park. What other pro fields have you thrown on? And, like, how does it feel being on, like, that field as opposed to, like, some random park in the middle of a neighborhood?
I think the only other one I've thrown at is Tropicana Field, which is the Rays stadium. But it's kind of a different vibe. Like, you feel like you feel like you can go out there and throw 100 and throw all your best stuff. It's just kind of, it's really, really fun. It's kind of about, like, especially in San Diego, I felt like that was the most fun I had at an event.
Mm-hmm. If we're being honest, you probably could throw 100.
Dude, I'm trying to throw 100 right now, man. Like, I'm trying to get myself like a five-line program and bump that 60 with sync up to 100 and try to be draftable by the time I'm, like, 30. That's the goal right now.
Well, right now. Get right on that.
But, Carter, so let's just jump over to, like, just you as a general fan of the game. Like, growing up, have you been a fan of any team, any MLB team? Any players that you kind of, like, pattern your pitching after?
There's not anybody specific that I really, like, am in love with pitching-wise. I was always an Astros fan, so recently I'm an Altuve fan, of course, just because of the amount of real raw, like, talent and how much work he's put into the game has just been incredible. So, I mean, like, draft, I kind of like to compare myself to Verlander just because of the amount of effort Telly puts in when he's pitching, how much he thinks, how like a great or gritty pitcher he is. And that's kind of the one person that I kind of look up to. I mean, there's a lot of people you could, like, compare me to pitching wise, like mechanics and whatnot, but I just feel like that mental side is what I like to think of in the game, and I feel like I can compare myself to him in that sense.
That's actually kind of interesting because like, while watching some of your older video, like, I might have seen a little bit of that. I've also seen a little bit of Rick Porcello. Have you ever heard of that comp?
Yeah, I have. I've heard Porcello.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that sort of comp?
If you're comparing me to an MLB pitcher, I'm not going to be upset with anybody you say.
That's fair. Like, I've been comped to, like, random beer league guys up here in Canada, so that's very true. But anyways, you're in college now. Like, how's the experience been like? Like, you're new kid on campus. How does it feel? Just, like, school, everything other than baseball.
I mean, I always was a pretty good student in school. I'm focusing a little harder right now because, I mean, I'm actually looking to get good grades. I don't know, just this random kind of drive has been telling me, hey, look, just try school. It might actually be fun. So high school, I didn't really have I really wasn't that driven in school, but right now I am. So, which that's actually, I'm really enjoying it. And, I mean, just meeting new people at school and meeting all the kids on the baseball team and just, like, knowing them outside of just a baseball field is kind of, I'm really, really enjoying it. It's different. Right. It's, kind of a different vibe and a different atmosphere than I have been in.
Wow. And what program are you taking?
I'm just taking kind of core classes with, kind of mixing everything up. There's a few sciences. I'm interested in science. So I'm just trying to enjoy my time the best I can.
No, that's totally fair. And, like, we're going to be closing this one up soon, but just as a guy who's peaked in high school, I really want to know your opinion about the whole recruitment process. Like, I bet the last year of your life has been a whirlwind. So I just wanted to know, like, what the recruitment process was like for you, how, as a high school student, and just what did you learn from it?
There's definitely a lot of things I learned from it. It's definitely luck based in a way that when you get seen, how you get seen. I mean, in any sport though, I mean, as a football player, baseball player, if you're a good player, you're going to produce over time. But a lot of times coaches, teams look at you for a specific amount of time. So between luck based, it's a little bit luck based and skill wise. I mean, the recruitment process in itself is, it's unique. It's good. Like college, what do you mean? College-wise or pro-wise? Because they're similar yet different.
Let's go with college-wise.
College-wise, I really, really, that's a very good experience because getting to meet lots of coaches, especially them wanting to like know who you are as a person and knowing how you are academically and whatnot is it's a good experience for anybody who really wants to play college or baseball at a higher level while getting an education is, all the coaches, like whenever you get to go on official or get to go on unofficial visits to or when you get offered and whatnot. I feel like that, that's really kind of tells you as a person that you are really good at what you do and that it's just kind of unique in a sense that you get to go play what you love to do and you get to go learn at a higher level, which right. JUCO to D1. I mean, all of them you're playing and learning at a high level, which is kind of unique to think about because a lot of people don't get to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. And just before Peyton jumps in, like I said, I've watched a ton of scout videos, but I wanted just to know your opinion on what makes some of these top high school arms as good as they were. So I'm just going to like throw names at you and just like quickly give me like a summary of like why this dude is as good as he was and why he's as good as he is right now. So right now I'm just going to go like an order of how my hype train just went last year. So let's go Ethan Hankins first. What made him so good?
Tall, slender, really, really whippy arm. You can tell that he put a lot of effort into the fastball, and I feel like that was kind of his main pitch. I feel like over near the end of the year, he really developed a few good off-speed pitches, and that really what made him a first-rounder.
Mm-hmm. Kumar Rocker, who's looked kind of really, really scary and really, really big on TV.
Intimidating, looks like a linebacker in person. First time I ever met him, had no idea who I was a little... was like disappointed, but great dude to talk to. You can tell that he really cares about what he does. His fastball, it comes out of that, is explosive. His curveball, I feel like once he develops it fully, he has a good changeup. Once he develops his off speed fully, mm-hmm. he's going to be an absolute dominant pitcher at the college level and maybe even more.
Mm-hmm. So we heard about what you had to say about Matthew Liberatore. You hit dingers against Mason Denneberg. A guy I also really, really liked, and I felt like he just didn't get the same amount of hype and love, was Cole Wynn. Thoughts?
Oh, man, such a great – I love that kid. I mean, he probably didn't think much of me, but I thought he was an absolute great athlete, great person to talk to. Mm-hmm. He was also committed to Mississippi State, so I got to meet him at the official visit. And, I mean, I just love being around that kid. He's such, like, a nice person to talk to and just – around. He's just a positive person, which I really love. And I'm really happy. I've heard that he's been having success, so I'm really happy for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. And last name, Ryan Weathers. And with a guy like Ryan Weathers, I was kind of like shoddy on him at first and then just kept watching a lot of videos, and I feel like he just really climbed up the draft boards. So I'm just curious to know what you think of that.
Okay. Disgusting lefty, in my opinion. He's got great stuff. I've seen him. I've watched him pitch in person and on TV. His just pitching from the left side, of course, gives him an advantage. Pissed he got drafted before me, but hey, you can't. I always wanted to be the first pitcher to get taken, but you can't. Not everything good can happen. But no, absolutely great kid. I love talking to him. I played with him in the 80 man for USA. I played with him for a little bit. Absolutely just great guy to be around. I really, all the guys in my draft class, there was no one I had a problem with. They were just all good people. And I feel like he has a really good long future ahead of him because he's such a dominant and presence on the mound.
Wait, so is there a chip on your shoulder, dude?
Not no, me. Maybe a little bit.
Okay, I got you. No problems with that. Go ahead, Peyton.
I always want to pitch well.
There we go. Yeah, go ahead, Peyton.
No, there's no problems with wanting to be the best. You just have to, I don't want to be the best. That makes me sound bad. Let me rephrase that. There's no problems with wanting to be better than the guy in front of you.
That is very true.
But it's like, what is so bad about wanting to be the best?
Dude, I want to be the best in my peer league. Like, bar none,
you
I
want to say that. Like, I mean, you can say that, but I feel like if you say that, you sound a little bit, like, ahead of yourself. So, I mean, you want to be better than the guy next to you.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're on the Pitch into Contact podcast, man. Like, only our parents listen to this anyways. Like, who cares?
Hey, speaking of the best, Carter, if you could face one hitter in the big leagues right now, who would it be and why?
Oh, God, I have no idea. How about I face all nine hitters?
You want to face all nine?
Let's face the whole lineup. I have 100 pitches to work with. I'll face the whole lineup and see what happens.
Okay. So which team's lineup?
Ooh, the Yankees.
I was just about to say the Yankees. That would be super exciting.
I'd want to see like Aaron Judge versus that curveball.
I've watched enough. I don't know exactly how to pitch him, but I have an idea.
Yeah, I think everybody does. That's why he hit like 205 last year, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Well, if we ever get Aaron Judge on this podcast, we'll make sure to never tell him that we said that.
I guarantee you that Aaron Judge will be on top of this podcast because I just said that.
Oh my God. But anyways, guys, we're going to try to wrap this one up. Still like a ton to discuss, but this has been a blast, man. Carter, thanks for coming on. This has been awesome.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, awesome. Carter, the best of luck this season, man. And, once June rolls around, don't forget us little people.
Yeah, man. And and just like following up on that point, let's have you right back up on our Pitching to Contact podcast. That would be awesome, dude.
Yeah, of course.
Awesome. Well, anyways, guys, there you have it. Latest episode of Pitching to Contact. Until next week.